Thanks again for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU and 88.5 WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. Glad to have you along in this Saturday morning. It's fundraiser time at these public radio stations. Your dollars are so important to keep programs like Cincinnati Edition and Weekend Edition with Scott Simon coming up in just a bit on the air. Listener contributions responsible for 52% of the operating budget for the coming year, and that's why it's important for you, even early on this Saturday morning, to do your part to keep this programming on the air. You get to enjoy the top 20 public radio programs on 91.7 and 88.5. And if you find these programs important to you during the week, keeping you up to date with what's happening in news around the world, if you find yourself entertained on the weekends and enjoy what you hear, please contribute a few dollars right now to make sure that these programs continue on the air on 91.7 and 88.5. It's easy to do. We have our volunteers stoked up on donuts and coffee this morning waiting to take your call when you call 513-419-7155. They'll welcome you to the family, take your contribution, and send you on your way with a warm glow on this Saturday morning, knowing you're supporting the public radio station that you love. You can also, if you're not quite conversational, as I like to say, before coffee, and still would like to make a contribution, well, if your computer's already booted up, just visit our websites, wvxu.org or wmub.org, and make a contribution there, safe and secure online. And when you visit WVXU or WMUB.org, you will notice there are two buttons there. One that says Support Now. The other says Become a Sustaining Member. Well, what's a sustaining member? Quite simply, it's kind of like automatic withdrawal for your public radio contribution. Just like you have bills that are automatically paid each month, you can pay your public radio bill the same way. You choose an amount that can be charged to your credit or debit card once a year or once a month if you'd like. It continues continually is renewed over the course of the year. Each year you have a chance to pick up a thank you gift on the anniversary of your contribution. And it supports WVXU and WMUB in a manner that allows us to reduce on-air fundraising. So please consider a sustaining membership and either click that button on the website, wvxu.org or wmub.org, or make that phone call to 513-419-7155. Your dollars keep all these great things happening on 91.7 and 88.5. So please do what you can. Whatever amount fits your budget, please make that contribution right now. And thanks for supporting Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Purcell, where it's time to go on the money with Chris DeSimeo and his guest David Osborne.
First weekend of fall, and of course it is now time for the Fall Fund Drive. That's a time for those of us who are involved in the station to thank you, our listeners, and also to encourage you to continue to support this Cincinnati Edition and all the fine programming that you hear on WVXU and WMUB. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the show our friend David Osborne. David, a Miami University graduate with nearly 30 years experience in the investment industry, David is now the president of the investment firm in Cincinnati of Osborne, Ross, Williams, and Donahoe. And David, thanks so much for taking part of your weekend to be with us.
Thank you, Chris. It's nice to be here.
Now, David, it's, you know, it kind of reminds me of when you're a little kid and you're climbing up a little hillside and you just keep climbing, one foot in front of the other. Maybe it gets steeper and you pull yourself up. And it isn't until you look back down that you start to think, whoa, where is the market right now? And are we at that point where we're at the uh-oh moment?
Well, that's a great analogy, Chris. It's tough to know. I think you know, it's almost impossible to gauge the short-term direction of the stock market. And who would have thought back at the beginning of the year that we'd be up 18% year-to-date?
At this point.
That's right. And, you know, I think that we're looking at an environment now where certainly there's a high degree of skepticism, of pessimism out there, of concern about all kinds of things, from geopolitical concerns to our own fiscal cliff. And yet, we've really seen a terrific market this year, and I think one of the catalysts of that is the fact that there is just so much money in short-term cash and bond funds that has actually started to migrate to equities, and that's helping us this year.
Let's talk about that. As long as we're using the mountain analogy, let's talk about this mountain of cash. Of course, you know, there are cliffs inside mountains too, cliffs over the edges of mountains. This cash pile, this hoard that's been piling up in money market funds and some short-term bond funds, not that they should be confused with cash, but savings deposits at banks, money market funds, paying practically zero, and then on corporate balance sheets all across this great land of ours. Roughly, how tall is that mountain of cash?
Well, it is monumental. There's estimated to be over $2 trillion of cash in short-term money market funds that, as you mentioned, are yielding virtually zero.
This is trackable on Barron's Post this weekly.
Right. And then there's estimated to be over $3 trillion on corporate balance sheets. And, you know, if you think about it, at times cash is king, and at other times it's the opposite. And when you have a stock market that is rallying and investors are sitting with a lot of cash, investors begin to feel that they're missing out, and that money starts to flow into where there has been recent return. And I think if you look at corporate balance sheets, in a way, cash is a real drag on earnings. I mean, could you imagine having all of this money that is earning virtually nothing?
Yeah, it's an asset on your balance sheet, and it's probably one of the most unproductive assets of all.
That's right.
Is this what's behind, David, this kind of little meteor shower of merger and acquisition activity that we're seeing in some of the smaller and mid-cap companies? We haven't seen anything big for a long time, but there are lots of billion and $5 billion deals going on. Is that what's happening?
Absolutely. I think the combination of higher cash balances on the books makes it easier for companies to make acquisitions, but also the fact that interest rates are so low and they can finance these acquisitions for a very low cost of funds.
Yeah. You know, David, you've been in this field a long, long time, and now at your firm of Osborne, Ross, Williams & Donohoe, I know you pay a lot of attention to the mood of investors and how that sometimes can be the same or differ from the mood of consumers. What is the mood right now in the investment community? How can you quantify it? Can an average investor measure it? Knowing what it might be, then how can you position your portfolio accordingly?
Well, this is a big issue today, and unfortunately, I think the mood is fairly sanguine at best. There's a great concern over what is happening in Europe. Even now, despite steps that have been taken over there, there's concerns about that. There's, I think, a general level of pessimism that has been with us for a while that seems to be contributing to a high level of uncertainty. But oftentimes that's when equity markets do very well, because when everybody's feeling great about everything, valuations tend to be high. And when everybody's feeling fairly pessimistic, valuations tend to be low. And I think that's the environment that we have come from last year. I mean, for example, last year we had a 16% plus earnings growth on the S&P, and the market was basically flat.
Yes.
If it hadn't been for Apple Computer, it would have been even lower than it was last year.
Right. Had it not been for dividend yield. The S&P 500 total return would have been almost completely zero.
Right. So I think that at times you can see the stock market do well when pessimism is high. But, you know, I think investors, unfortunately, are – and all of us, human beings, are victims of our own emotions. The two emotions that are probably the most powerful in investing are fear and overconfidence. And, you know, I think that there's a fear of missing out. That's why investors sometimes tend to pay too much for particular stocks, because stocks that have been running higher, they think they'll continue to run higher, and they don't want to miss out on that.
Yeah, interesting. That's almost fear and greed being the same thing. The fear of missing out is not too far removed from just being downright greedy.
That's right. And then, of course, overconfidence. And oftentimes when stocks fall, investors will stay in too long, believing that they will come back. So it's something that I think investors should really try to be aware of, almost self-analysis. The other is that it is important, I think, just to take a long-term view of companies and almost think of yourself as a business owner rather than as an owner of a slip of paper.
Yeah.
Because we're all bombarded every day with so much information.
Media impressions.
And after a while, we look at our statements and they become slips of paper and just numbers on a page. And I think what's really important is to step back from that and think of yourself really as an owner of a business and ask yourself, would somebody else pay more for this company a year or 2 years or 3 years from now compared to what I'm paying for it?
That is a page right out of Warren Buffett's playbook, too.
Right.
Yeah, good advice. You know, last week we were treated to a very interesting announcement from the Federal Reserve, and then followed by a press conference with the chairman, after which the market finished the day 200 points higher. And people are still trying to determine just what the ramifications were of the Fed's announcement that they would be buying certain kinds of securities for an indefinite period of time. That, combined with extending to 2015 the zero interest rate policy, or whatever you want, whatever you would like to refer to it as, what are the implications of the Fed's action for the bond market? What are the implications for the housing market? And then there are certain kinds of securities that income-oriented investors should be examining right now.
Yes, I think the Fed's message is that they're going to do whatever they can to bring back employment, to lower the unemployment rate, to keep interest rates low so that that will spur on housing. And it definitely has implications. I think there's a certain level of skepticism now that the Fed's policy is, for lack of a better word, sugar water for the stock market. But I think that what is really happening is the Fed is trying to engineer an economic recovery by keeping interest rates low, spurring on the housing market. And as far as housing goes, we've had a terrific increase in not only the sale of existing homes, but housing prices year over year.
Starting to percolate.
That's right. I mean, believe it or not, nationwide, housing prices are up roughly 9% year over year. And in August, where the sale of existing homes was up over 7%.
Wow.
So housing is starting to percolate. I think the Fed really feels that housing is a store of wealth for many people. And as that store of wealth can increase in value, so does the discretionary spending of consumers.
Okay. So in all your years that you've been in this field, now as a chartered financial analyst and more recently as president of your firm, and there will be a link, by the way, to the Osborne Ross Williams & Donahoe website from the WVXU website. We got about 30 seconds left, David. Is the municipal bond market, the tax-free income level market, is that still a reasonable place for sane investors to be parking some cash?
Sure. Well, I think that we obviously have to be careful of certain municipalities and the credit rating and have to be selective there. But the yields on municipal bonds have come down quite a bit over the last year. And I think if we look at where inflation is today and where it might be going over the next couple of years, we have to be a little bit careful and, again, selective, because it could be quite possible that the yield you receive on a municipal bond will be below the rate of inflation. And then on a go-forward basis, with the inflationary expectations rising, that could actually be a headwind for bond prices.
Okay, so be careful out there. And again, thanks to all of you for listening and for supporting your public radio station. And thanks to David Osborne from the firm of Osborne, Ross, Williams & Donahoe. And for Cincinnati Edition, I'm Chris DeCimio on The Money.